want to remind you and let you know that he's not done yet. He's not done yet. He wants to continue to work in us, to move in us, and to reveal himself to us. God bless you. It's so good to have you in the house of the Lord today. I want to add my voice to Pastor Linder's and say thank you to everybody that has served so diligently and has just done everything that there is to do around here. And, you know, there's room for more. There's a lot of toilets that need to be cleaned. There's a lot of carpets that can be vacuumed. There's a lot of solos that need to be sung. There's room for you. There's room for you. Don't show up and just think, well, you know, everything looks so good. They've got it all together. They don't need me. We need you. The church needs you. The body of Christ needs you. And so get connected, get plugged in, and let God serve you. And the Bible says that where there are no oxen, the stalls are clean. And that just means where much is given, much is required. When things are happening, when revival's happening, there can be some messes. I walked around last week getting ready for these concerts. Everybody had gone home. They were decorating. They were setting up lights. They were rehearsing. And I came through the sanctuary. It was late. Well, probably early in the morning by then. And I thought, man, there's some oxen walking around in this place. This place is a mess. And then just a day or two later, we showed up for those concerts and everything looked so incredible. And keep doing what you're doing because we're seeing revival. And it takes a lot of work to have revival. Can somebody say amen? I said it takes a lot of work to have revival. And so we need you. And so get plugged into what God is doing here at Heaven View and just see what God will do through you. Can somebody say amen? I want to talk to you for a few minutes today on faithfulness. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4:2 that it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And I don't want to come today. It's not my intention to bang you over the head and beat you to death with scripture and tell you got to be faithful and you got to do more and got to try harder. That's not my intention today. My intention is to celebrate your faithfulness. I've come today to say thank you for those that are serving and to say thank you to those that have been found faithful and to encourage you to remain faithful because I believe with all my heart, you find it all through the Bible that favor follows faithfulness. Favor follows faithfulness. And so I want to preach to you with the help of the Lord today about shepherds and seekers. Shepherds and seekers. Why don't you pray with me one more time? God, let your spirit continue to move through this house. We feel your glory and we feel your power. We feel your presence, and I pray that you would reveal yourself in a greater way to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Turn to somebody and give them a high five and say, stay faithful. God bless you. You may be seated. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. I'm not going to be able to do this scripture the justice that Brother Patrick Adams does it, but I will read it to you today. It says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of the house in the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. On the night that changed eternity, heaven did not announce the birth of the king in a palace, but it was in a pasture and through a passed down prophecy. God chose to reveal himself not just to those who were working, but also to those who were searching. There were shepherds, common men, doing common work, faithful in the night watch. And then Matthew chapter 2 tells us about the wise men, scholars, men of influence, seekers who left comfort. They left status and they left certainty to pursue a promise. Different backgrounds, different social standings, different journeys, but the same destination. Because when God robed himself in flesh, everybody was invited to the manger. Luke tells us that the shepherds were abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They were faithful in the field. These shepherds were faithful to their calling. They were faithful to what they were supposed to be doing. They weren't praying in the temple. They weren't attending some type of religious festival. They weren't really even expecting some kind of visitation. They were simply working. Shepherding was not a glamorous duty. In fact, it was probably pretty dirty. It was very dangerous. It was very lonely, especially in the middle of the night. And as I read this again this year, it seemed odd to me that the shepherds were out in the field in the middle of the night. I began to look into it somewhat, and then I realized that sometimes they had to be somewhat of nomadic travelers. They would have to go and travel to where the grass was, travel to where the well-watered pastures were, or really just simply go find food for the sheep. And wherever that was, that's where they had to grow or had to go. And they didn't really have the privilege of a fenced-in, protected pasture. So they would have to venture out into some untamed, unknown, and possibly unfriendly territory so that their sheep could be fed. They didn't have the luxury of checking out. They didn't have the luxury of punching a clock. And so they had to remain attentive. They had to remain dedicated. They had to remain consistent. They had to remain committed. And it was in the middle of this diligence that heaven showed up. Hear me today, somebody. While everyone else was sleeping, an angel appeared to those who were devoted. An angel appeared to those while everybody else was resting, while everybody else had their eyes closed and they were just catching up. They were tired. Here were these shepherds in the middle of the field, in the middle of the night, and heaven found them faithful, and heaven showed up to those who were faithful and those who were diligent. God didn't interrupt the lazy. God didn't interrupt the sleeping. God didn't show up to those that were filled with complacency, but God spoke to men who were faithful where they were. This apostolic truth that we preach and that we believe today, it still stands. It's still true. And if you want revelation, then be faithful in your calling. If you want direction, then keep going where God told you to go and keep doing what God has told you to do. Continue to be faithful. Continue to be diligent, and heaven will show up, and there will be revelation, and there will be outpouring, and there will be salvation, and there will be miracles. The angels didn't appear to Herod. Herod was the king, but he did not have an angelic visitation that night. They didn't appear to the religious elite, but they appeared to men who were simply faithful, simply doing their job. I've come to talk to somebody today that you may feel like that you're ready to check out because you feel like you can't find your way, or You've been working at this so long. You've been trying so hard for what seems like such a long time, and you feel like, you know what? I think I'm ready to just call it quits. I don't know if I can keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe you don't understand why you are where you are. So you feel like, you know what? It's getting dark and I'm getting tired. I can't keep up the fight anymore. I'm out here in the middle of the field. It's the middle of the night. It seems like everybody else has it going for them. It feels like everybody else gets to rest. It feels like everybody else doesn't have a problem. Why me, God? Why am I in the field in the middle of the night? But I've come to tell you today, remain diligent. Stay faithful. Keep working. Keep trusting, because heaven is on its way. There is an angel that is going to come and speak to you, and God is going to do something incredible for you. His promise is going to come to pass if you remain faithful. Just remain faithful. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Maybe you're here today and you find yourself in unfamiliar territory. God has called you to a certain thing. God has called you to a specific duty. Maybe you have even committed to some things in your life, and now you find yourself in uncertain and unfamiliar territory. But God is coming. Stay faithful. I said, God is coming, so stay faithful. Maybe you've had to fight off the enemy who seems to attack you at every angle from every side, and you're frustrated and you're tired and you're weak from the enemy. You've been weakened. You've been wounded from the onslaught, and you think, you know what, Brother Mark, I've had enough. It's the middle of the night. There's no light. I feel like I'm in darkness, and I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm trying to continue to be what I'm supposed to be, but I just can't handle it anymore. But keep fighting. Stay faithful, because your promise is coming. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Maybe this isn't for you today, but it might be for someone sitting next to you that you're going to need to believe it, and you're going to have to celebrate that the promise is coming. I said the promise is coming. I've come to remind that shepherd that feels like giving up on their calling, giving up on what God is going to do in your life because you're just a shepherd standing out in the darkness. But we have some incredible promises in the Word of God. Isaiah wrote in chapter 50, verse 10, "Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." I've come to tell you today, continue trusting, remain diligent, remain faithful. It may feel like you're out in the field in the midnight hour, but God will come through. David said, "The Lord is my light and he is my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" He said, "His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The prophet Micah said, "Though I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be my light." I've come to remind somebody today, you might be a shepherd out in the field in the middle of the night, but Jesus will be your light, and his promise will come to pass. Why don't you put your hands together and shout if you believe it? I know it's easy to get up here and preach about it, but I've been there before. I've sat in my office with my head in my hands, and I've had to whisper this over and over again until I started to believe it. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. I've sat in the hospital rooms and I've had to whisper it until I started to believe it. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. I've looked at the bills that have piled up and I've had to repeat it to myself until I started to believe it. Those who walk in darkness and have no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. I've been there. But the trick is you just can't stop. You've got to remain faithful. You've got to remain diligent because favor follows faithfulness. Favor follows faithfulness. I've come to tell somebody today that Jesus will be revealed to those that are faithful. Jesus will be revealed to those that are faithful. When you leave this place today, and you travel through the neighborhoods and you see the wrapping paper and you go to the mall and you see all the decorations. I don't even know if the mall still decorates. Probably not, a bunch of snowflakes and frosties and stuff like that. But every now and then you'll get a look at a manger scene. You'll see that nativity. And I want you to be reminded that Jesus will be revealed to those that remain faithful. As they sing the Christmas carols, let it be a reminder to you that Jesus will be revealed to those that are faithful. So stay faithful, shepherds. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, stay faithful, shepherd. Come on, look at somebody else and tell them, stay faithful, shepherd. Because Jesus will be revealed. Your faithfulness is leading you right to Jesus. I said, your faithfulness is leading you right to where Jesus is. Matthew tells us that there were wise men that came from the east following a star. These were not casual observers. They were not curious tourists, but they were seekers. They were seekers. They studied, they traveled, they sacrificed. I found it interesting. I'd never noticed this before or even thought about it. This year, as I begin to read this account again, I'll be honest, I knew I had to preach this week, and so I started praying, saying, God, just reveal something to me about this Christmas story, this message. Is there anything that I've missed? Is there anything I haven't seen? And so I read it again. We read it every year, and we read it with the kids, but I read it again, and I began to pray. And as I looked at this, I thought, I begin to realize, and I begin to read some scriptural texts and what do you call them, those guys that write about the commentaries. Thank you. And you'll find that tradition and historical context suggests that these wise men may have been descendants of the Magi, or the wise men that Daniel was placed over in Babylon after that he had interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. They may have been descendants of those magicians, those wise men. And when you look into it, Babylon is due east of Bethlehem. These wise men from the east. Daniel, while in exile, the Bible says that he is filled with the Spirit of God, and he left a legacy of revelation in that foreign land. Generations later, men who had inherited those writings were still watching heaven for a sign. Could it be that faithfulness has farther-reaching effects than what we realize? Maybe my faithfulness has more to do than just my pursuit of heaven. It might just be that the next generation is relying on my faithfulness. It might just be that my children are relying on my diligence. It might just be that somebody that is going to show up to this sanctuary is relying on your faithfulness so that they can find where Jesus is. It might just be that your neighbors and your coworkers and the people that you come in contact with are relying on your diligence so that they can find where Jesus is. Could it be that Daniel's faithfulness is what made his prophecies powerful? I believe it. I believe that it was his faithfulness that made those prophecies believable. Daniel could have been and would have been just another crazy guy saying all kinds of crazy things if it weren't for the fact that he was faithful. He was steadfast. He was diligent. He was committed in the face of the adversary and in the face of all the problems. And you talk about being a stranger in a strange land. And yet he was committed. He was faithful. He didn't give up. He didn't back down. And so when people saw his commitment and his diligence and his faithfulness, they believed what he had to say. Those prophecies, they held water, if you will, because he was faithful. Those prophecies were accepted because his faithfulness was displayed. And so those prophecies were passed down from generation to generation until finally 600 years later, wise men recounting and recognizing the prophecies fulfilled, follow a star to Bethlehem and find this young child named Jesus, the Messiah. If these wise men were from Babylon, it would have been about an 800 to 1,000 mile journey over harsh desert terrain, following ancient roads to get to Jerusalem. You know what I noticed? They didn't stop when the road got rough. They didn't give up and back down when things got uncomfortable. They couldn't just jump on EasyJet and get a nonstop flight with a first-class seat to Bethlehem. But it was a journey. There were struggles. They had to be persistent. They had to be diligent in their pursuit. They had to be faithful, and they didn't quit, even though the journey was long, because seekers don't quit. I said, seekers don't quit until they find him. Seekers of the Messiah don't give up until they stand at his feet and worship him. I said, shepherds and seekers must remain faithful. The thing that's amazing about it, the thing that I want to celebrate today, is that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I said, I've come today to celebrate that God is a rewarder of diligence. God will respond
to faithfulness. If you've been trudging, if you've been fighting, if you've been traveling, then keep it up, because God is about to reward you. God is about to send something your way. There's about to be an angel that is going to bring revelation and bring his promise to pass. In the name of Jesus. Hebrews 11:6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And then it says, you may be dismissed. No. No, it doesn't say that if you're going to come to God, just believe. It says, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's not enough to believe, but you've got to seek after. It's not enough just to believe. Let me speak to a young minister here today, a young person. Maybe it's an older minister. Maybe it's a lay minister that you're not so young. I don't know. But you're wanting to do something for God, and you believe that he's called you. But it's not enough. You've got to seek him. You've got to work. You've got to travel. You've got to study. You've got to pray. You've got to fast. You've got to keep going. Don't give up. Well, God, you can use me. Here I am. Well, keep praying, keep studying, keep serving, keep finding places to plug in. Because God rewards the diligent. God rewards the faithful. God, it doesn't say anything about the casual seeker. It doesn't say anything about God rewarding the occasional seeker. Not the convenient seekers, but the diligent seekers, like those wise men who diligently sought the Christ child. I used to think that diligence simply meant to work hard and to be focused, but there's more to it than that. It indicates a level of care or to take delight in the task at hand. Now, let me throw this in as a just a free Christmas present to you. You'll be more successful and more fulfilled and happier when you approach your calling with diligence than you will if you respond to it with a bitter and begrudging attitude. And that just doesn't deal with the call of God and the kingdom of God. If you go to your job and you're bitter about it and you're begrudging and you're mumbling and you're grumbling, that's not going to help anything. But if you would go and you'd be diligent, I sound like my mom. Where are you, Sister Sharon? I said, there she is. It's coming back. You thought I wasn't listening. I tried not to, but you pounded it in there. That belt, boy, I tell you what, it'll make you recall some stuff. Can somebody say amen? Yeah. But, you know, there's some things in life that you're just going to have to deal with. That if you would just figure it out and not be so bitter about it, not be so begrudging about it, then God could say, hey, look, here's somebody who's faithful. I can work with this. I can work with faithfulness. She used to always say, she'd quote it to us when we were young men, and it served my brother and I well. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. And it stuck with me. It served me well. I can't help it. Pastor makes us park across the street. When I'm walking over here for church, I can't help myself when a piece of paper is blown into the parking lot. And I'll try, you know, the security cameras, they'll see if I walk past. So I'll try to just kind of corner eye it and act like I didn't see it. But then I hear Sister Sharon, whatsoever your hands find to do. I turn around, I'll pick up the piece of paper. Or I'll come into the sanctuary, we're being prayer. I kind of pace back and forth during prayer, and that piece of lint on the ground is just, it's killing me. I can't touch heaven because that piece of lint is calling to me. And I hear Sister Sharon. But you know what? It served me well, because I believe that I am where I am today because God looked at a young man whose mother and father taught him, be diligent, be faithful. And I'm not perfect, and I don't have it all figured out, but I believe that God looks and says, I can do something with somebody who's faithful. I can work with somebody who is diligent. I can reveal myself to somebody who's faithful. I can reveal myself to shepherds and to seekers. Diligence and faithfulness attracts all of heaven, and it leads to Jesus. The shepherds were diligent in their responsibilities. The wise men were diligent in their pursuits, and God rewarded both of them. The shepherds received revelation, and the wise men received confirmation. The shepherds went away praising, and the wise men went away transformed. I've come to tell somebody today that God does not reward titles, but he rewards faithfulness. God doesn't reward status, but he responds to diligence. If you keep watching in the field, if you keep following that star, if you keep praying, even though the answers seem to be delayed, God will not forget your labor. This is what I love about the nativity scene, is that all were welcome to the manger. This is the beauty of the incarnation. Those first visitors were shepherds. And then later, the visitors were the wise men with social status, possibly even kings, commoners and royalty, workers and scholars, the poor and the powerful. They were all kneeling at the same place. No reserved seating, no special access, no hierarchy at the manger, because when God manifested himself in flesh, he made a declaration, and it was this: whosoever will may come. Whoever wants to come to the manger can come to the manger. Whoever wants revelation can receive it. Whoever wants to be saved can be saved. Whoever wants more of my power, whoever wants anointing, it's available to you. The shepherds had no earthly goods to give to Jesus. The wise men came bearing precious and costly gifts, and yet they were both accepted. God didn't care where they came from. Only that they came. And today the invitation stays the same. If you'd stand with me. Some of you here today are shepherds. You're tired, but you're faithful. You're diligent in doing what God has asked you to do. Maybe even at times wondering if anybody sees, but God sees you. Some of you here are wise men. You're seekers, you're searching, you're praying, you're studying, you're longing for clarity. I've come to tell you today, keep seeking. Because whether you come from the field or from afar, the Savior is still found where humility meets hunger. Jesus is revealed where loyalty meets longing. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger right at the spot where devotion meets desire. So be diligent in your pursuit. Be relentless in your calling, because God is still a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're here today and you want more of God, then as they begin to sing in just a moment, we're going to open this altar. I invite you to reach out to him, because hunger always precedes revelation. That hunger for more of God will always proceed God responding to those that are hungry. If you've been giving and you're serving and you're tired, maybe a bit weary, then come to this altar and worship him, because sacrifice always precedes encounter. Let me say this today. There's more to God than just church attendance. Today you can experience an encounter. I said, today you can experience an encounter. This altar is like our manger today. No one is turned away. This altar is open to the wealthy businessman, but it's also open to the dirty, tired, weary, worn out shepherd, because Jesus is available to everybody. Doesn't matter where you're coming from. It doesn't matter what you've experienced. What matters today is that you come. You don't have to bring anything to this manger. Just bring yourself. It's all right if you've lived a lot of life. It's okay if you've got a late start in your pursuit of Jesus. It took the wise men a little while to get there too. I know we set them up there at the manger scene, but
They weren't there that night. It took them a little bit to get there. And so if you've been traveling a while, it's okay. If you feel like you're a little bit late in making it to Jesus, it's okay. You can still come today. The exciting thing is when you get to Jesus, He'll forgive you of all your sins. When you get to Jesus, He'll baptize you in His name. The water is ready. We've got robes. You don't have to get your clothes all wet. You can be baptized in the saving name of Jesus Christ and have the stains of all of those sins washed away from your life, and He'll make you a new creature today. When you come to this altar and you come to Jesus, He'll fill you with His Spirit. He was born in the manger, but He never planned to stay there. He left the manger and He went to a cross so that He could live in your heart. Come to this altar and let Him fill you with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. As they begin to sing, this altar is open. Why don't you come and receive revelation? Why don't you come today and receive transformation? And you'll leave this place rejoicing and praising God for everything that you have experienced in His presence. Come on, I'm calling every shepherd. I'm calling every seeker. Come to this altar. Open your heart. Lay your life down before the Lord today and say, God, I know You've got a promise for me. I know You've got power for me. I know You've got revelation for me. I know You've got restoration for me. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm coming to You today, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Come on, God.